Wednesday the 9th of April, Dalad Nissen, Rabbi Matisyahu Lawrence, Kashering, Glass for Pesach.
I'd just like to dedicate this shir to Nishmas Maveda, who was the outside was yesterday, Dain Lu, and also the outside of his father, my great-grandfather, was on the same day. A number of years ago, an older person told me that for 3 days before Pesach, they didn't used to have baths. I thought a bit strange. I've heard during 9 days people don't wash, they don't have baths. But 3 days before Pesach, not to have a bath seems a bit strange. I said, why? Why don't you have a bath 3 days before Pesach? Well, the bath was full up with water. Why is the bath full up with water for 3 days? The glasses were in there. Well, I mean, what are the glasses doing in the bath? No, we had to kash the glasses. Kashering glasses. Never heard of kashering glasses before. Go to the shop and buy a few more glasses. We couldn't afford it. Glass wasn't as cheap as it is nowadays. And we had to cash up the glass. We fill up the bath for 3 days with water. You soak the glasses in there, take them out. Another day, 3 days, and you cash the glass that way. So it always interested me to go into the subject of kashering glass. What does it mean to kasha glass? Do you need to kasha glass? If you need to kasha glass, how do you kasha glass? So the subject of this shiur is not how to kasha glass. I'm not going to talk about how to kasha glass. That's a whole shiur in its own right. This shiur is about whether glass needs kashering, where we learn it from, and whether there are certain methods to kasher it. We'll go into how the methods work themselves. So we're going to learn the Gemara's and the Rishonim, which and the Poskim, which deal with this. It's very negeah. Hilchos Pesach. Although people don't kasher glass so much nowadays, it's easier, it's cheaper to go and buy glass. But nevertheless, there are situations where you may want to kasher glass. For example, you have a ceramic cooker, a modern cooker, where the top is ceramic, which is basically a type of glass. Can you kasher it for Pesach? Do you have to go and buy another cooker? Do you have to replace the top? Can you kasher it? How do you kasher it? So that's one of the shayos we'll get to towards the end. Before we continue with the halakhic side of it, let's try and understand what is glass. What is glass? Glass is not a naturally found substance. It's not like metal. You can dig in the ground and find metal and extract it from the ground, or cheret. What is glass? Glass is made by a procedure, so by a process. So scientifically, glass is approximately 75% what's called silica, which is what we call sand. 10% limestone, which is calcium carbonate, and about 15% sodium carbonate. That's the debate for anyone who's technically minded, scientifically minded. That's the basic structure of what most glass is, normal glass, and various different types of glass have different ratios of those contents. Why do they put these things in? If the basis is made from sand, why do they have to put other chemicals in? The reason is because when you want to melt glass, you have to melt it obviously at a certain temperature. Naturally, silica only melts at a very, very high temperature. You have to add something in order to reduce the temperature, the melting point of it, and then you can melt it at a much more feasible temperature. And for that, they add in sodium carbonate. Okay? Now, the problem is, when you add in sodium carbonate, it makes the whole glass solution soluble. That means it will dissolve in water, so you won't end up with anything. You just end up with a liquid solution of glass, and that won't help you. So for that, they have to add in calcium carbonate, limestone, which is a chemical which makes it that it's no longer soluble. It makes it back to how it was originally, insoluble. So again, the basis of glass is silica, which is sand, but they're adding in a couple of other chemicals and certain ratios in order to make the glass actually feasible, that you can actually make something out of it. That's the basis of glass. And Pyrex, people are familiar with Pyrex, which is a stronger form of glass that you can cook, you can put inside an oven without worrying about it break. They basically replaced one of those chemicals with another chemical called boric oxide, which is something which... What happens is, when you have glass and you put it into hot water or even cold water, when there's a sudden temperature change, there are stresses which are created within the structure of the glass itself. And those stresses cause the glass to break when it's exposed to a sudden temperature change. So what happens is, they put it in this boric oxide and another chemical called alumina, which is not aluminium, it's aluminium oxide, and they put that into the glass, and they change the other chemicals for this, and that causes the thing to strengthen and become resistant to those temperature changes. That's the difference really between Pyrex and regular glass. It's not as some forums seem to say that they put metal into the glass or they take metal out of the glass. It's not as simple as that. But basically Pyrex is the same as glass. It's just more resistant to heat. Okay, so what's the halacha of glass? That's a science aspect. Down, what's the halacha of glass? Now, there is a machlokes rishonim that we find. The Beis Yosef brings down a machlokes rishonim as to whether glass should be compared to cheret, the kli cheret, which is earthenware, or is glass comparable to a heart? A heart. What does that mean? We'll get there in a second. Or is glass comparable to metal? Okay, so let's take the first and third, which are simpler to understand. The first we can understand. Glass should be comparable to cheret. Why? What's cheret? Cheret is mud, it's clay that comes from the ground. Where does glass come from? We said 75% be'erech, silica, sand. Sand comes from the ground. So some Rishonim want to compare it to kli cheret. What's the halacha of kli cheret? We find Gemaras that tell us that kli cheret cannot be kashrut. We'll mention the Gemara in a minute. Okay, kli cheret cannot be kashrut. The Gemara tells us that when a kli cheret absorbs something, the bleias, the absorption goes inside the walls of the keli and it cannot come out. It cannot come out entirely. However much you kashrut it, it cannot come out. So some Rishonim can compare glass to cheret because it's the same base. Chilosoi min hachol is the lashon. Chilosoi min hachol. It comes from sand, and sand is like ground, and therefore it's like cheret. You can't kashrut it at all. The third opinion, I'm skipping the second one. The third one is that glass is comparable to metal. We find the Gemara, which we'll quote again in a minute, where the Gemara compares glass to metal regarding tevilas kelim. Halacha tevilas kelim, not kashrut. Tevilas kelim. When you buy a new keli, you have to tevil it in the mikvah. The Gemara there compares glass to metal. In the same way as metal requires tevila, so glass also requires tevila as well. We'll go more into that in a minute.
What's the comparison between?
Oh, so Gemara says the reason is because metal, you can break it down, you can melt it down and make it into something new again. So too glass, you can melt it down and make it into something new again. So that's the comparison between the two. We'll go more into the detail in a few minutes' time. So that's the first option and the third option. To compare it to cheret or to compare it to metal. Now cheret you can't kasha. Metal absorbs, but you can kasha. Which we'll get to the makoyo, the source and the Torah in a minute. The middle option. The glass is compared to a heart. What does that mean? Okay, so that's the outline of what we're going to be talking about. That's the outline of what we're going to be talking about. What is the source for kasher and kelim? The Torah says, well known in Parshas Matos, Klal Yisrael came back from the Milchemes Midyan. I'm sure you've heard this in previous shiurim on Hagolas Kelim. Klal Yisrael came back from Milchemes Midyan, and they had with them what they took in the war, kelim from Goyim, which obviously had been used for nevedus and traitors, Islam. And they had to kasher it. The Torah says you have to kasher it. The pasuk is in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chof Aleph. Elazar HaKohen said to the people of the soldiers who came back from the war, this is the Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Et Moshe. By the way, there's an interesting discussion, not for now, why it was that Elazar was Zoycha to teach over this parsha of Hagolat Kedem. The Zohav and Kosef, gold and silver. There's an echoshes. There's a bazel. There's a bedil. There's a forest. Kol davar sheyovay ba'ish. Anything which is used in fire, taviru ba'ish. You have to pass it through fire, the taher, and then it becomes taher. Then the pasuk carries on. Ach be'medit nido yitzchato. There's various different drushes in the midrashim and the gemara. How we learn exactly the dinim of hagolas kelim, which is putting things in boiling water to kasher them, and libun, which is putting a fire on something to kasher it, when you need to do hagola, when you have to do libun. We're not going to go into all those details. I think it's been covered in the previous share, not by myself or someone else. Hagola is when you take a keli, you put it in boiling hot water. Libun is when you take, let's say, a blowtorch, you take fire, or you put something inside fire and you burn it through. We learn these things from the psukim over here, various drushes online. That's where we learn that these kalim absorb things and they need to be kashered and they can be kashered. There is a pasuk in Vayikra Vav, pasuk Chos Aleph, which is not talking about kashering kalim. It's talking about when you cook the chatos in a kli cheres. The pasuk says Vayikra Vav Chos Aleph, ukli cheres asher tevusha avoy yishover. Any kli cheres in which a chatos is cooked has to be broken. Why do you have to break it? Because there will be bleas inside. Some of the chatos will get absorbed inside, and if you leave it, then it will become noiser, it will become leftover stuff, and then it will after anything else that you cook in it afterwards. So the only option is to break the kli cheres. There's no way seemingly of kashering the kli cheres. So the Gemara says this a number of times, the Psochim and Vajazora, you can't kasher a kli cheres. So we've learned one pasuk which tells us about kashering metal items, and one pasuk which tells us you cannot kasher kli cheres. That's the Makoros in the Torah for kashering kalim. Okay. So we can understand those who say that glass is comparable to kli cheres. The majority of the glass is based on sand, it's like kli cheres. We can understand that opinion. There is a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis where the Gemara states this point that glass is comparable to kli cheres. Just read that Gemara out. Gemara says Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Dorish Mereima. Mani de kunya, basically something which is a kli cheres, which is covered. There's a machlokes rishonim in what it's covered in. What's it plated in? Is it glazed in lead or is it glazed in glass? Okay, but it's basically a kli cheres made out of earthenware, but it's glazed. Bein uchmi, bein chivri, bein yeroiki, shori. It doesn't matter what color it is. In other words, what type of earth it's actually made from. It's muta. The Gemara goes through various things, and the Gemara says slightly earlier, mani de kunya, these glazed items. Are you allowed to use them on Pesach? You've used it all year round. Are you allowed to use it on Pesach? And the Gemara says, yuroika loiti bayaloch. We're not asking about yuroika, which is green type, the green earth. The vada you see, definitely offer. Kiti bayaloch uchmi v'chivri mad. Other colors, white and black, red. What's the aloch? The Gemara says, amale chazina lahu de midaisi. We see that they are midaisi. Midaisi means that they absorb things and they give out. It's not like our kelim nowadays where you don't see anything absorbing, you don't see anything seeping out of it. Their kelim were much more porous than what we have nowadays. And you could actually see things going in, being absorbed, and seeping out on the other side. And the Gemara says, we see that they are midaisi. We see that they absorb, we see that these things seep out. And therefore, they've clearly absorbed chometz, you can't use it on Pesach. Okay, so that's the basic Gemara over there about Kli Cheres. And there's one or two other Gemaras as well about Kli Cheres. That Gemara says explicitly that Kli Cheres absorbs and it doesn't give out, you cannot kasher it. Now, the second opinion that we said, it compares glass to a heart. What's that talking about? So that's an Usa Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Dalet. Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet in Pesachim says, Hai Mulaisa Sharia. What's Mulaisa? Mulaisa is a type of, you take a sheep, a tle, or tanu goat, and you fill it up with stuffing, and you cook it. And you haven't done Melicha beforehand. Melicha means when you take out the blood. You haven't done it beforehand. The Gemara says it's mutter. Omale abaya v'hor ko bala dama. Surely it's going to be boilea dam. You haven't taken out the blood, so when you cook it, the dam is going to move from one place to another within the actual thing that you're cooking, and it's going to become osa. Dam is osa. Dam shepirish is osa. Dam which has moved from one place within the skin or the body of the animal to another place when you cook it is osa. So how could it be mutter? Omale ko boile kach polter. In the same way that it will absorb the blood, it will also expel the blood as well. So you don't have to worry about the animal, the tarnagoid or whatever it is becoming osa because it's balei adam. Because kaboya kachpolta. So it's the name of Mitzrayim. Gomorrah wants to bring Uriah. The Gomorrah says, no, there's no Uriah from there. Then the Gomorrah says, name a Messiah Lev. Halev Koiroi Umoitsiya Soma. What's the halacha? If a person wants to kasher a Lev, okay, so normal meat, what do you have to do? You have to wash it, you have to put salt on it, wash it. A lathe is different. Why is a lathe different? Why is a heart different? What a kasher a heart, to eat the heart. Why is it different? Much more blood. And the blood is contained in a different way. Whereas, let's say, a regular piece of meat, the blood is absorbed within the meat itself, within the flesh. A lathe has a cavity. Inside the cavity is a lot of blood. So how do you get that out? Well, halacha is lechatchila, what you have to do is, you tear the lathe, you cut it, you tear it, you empty out that blood, and then you can... and then you kasher it like normal, or you do tzli, and it's okay. What about if a person didn't empty out the dung which was inside? Says the Gemara, loy koroi koroi la'acha bishuloi. If you didn't tear it, then you can tear it afterwards. After you've cooked the lathe, then we're still worried about the dung which is in this cavity. You can tear it and take it out. Okay, says the Gemara, but 1 second. What about when the cooking, isn't that going to cause dam to become absorbed in the flesh of the lathe itself? It's all very well that you've emptied out some of the dam, and even afterwards. But what about the dam that's going to become absorbed into the flesh of the lathe? Says the Gemara, my time, lav mishum damina kabbalah kachpozai. It must be, because you say kabbalah kachpozai. So this is another riot of the Gemara for this concept of kabbalah kachpozai. It must be that even though it does get absorbed when you cook it, but it gets expelled as well. It doesn't ask for the meat. Says the Gemara, no. Shani leif dishia. You cannot prove from here the general principle of kabbalah kachpolto, that whenever you cook something and there's issa there, it will get absorbed and then it gets expelled and you don't have to worry at all. No, you can't prove a general principle like that. Shani leif dishia. Leif is different. Why is a leif different? Because it's shia. What does shia mean? Smooth. The texture, the surface of a leif is very, very smooth. And therefore, what's the Gemara saying? Since it's very, very smooth, it doesn't get absorbed. It's different to all other materials, seemingly, other flesh. Other flesh is porous, the dam could get absorbed inside and it won't come out again. But lathe is different. It's smooth, it's non-porous, and therefore, it doesn't become osa, it doesn't absorb the blood. So now we understand a little bit what the Rishonim is saying when they want to compare glass to a lathe. In the same way, say these Rishonim, the Rav Yoh, that a lathe does not absorb blood, so too glass does not absorb anything. Why? Because it's comparable, it's sheer, it's smooth, and it doesn't absorb. So that's what the Rav Yoh says. Maran, they take on, they bring this as an explicit raya, not explicit, but they compare what the Gemara says with lathe to the glass. Therefore, what do they hold? Glass doesn't even absorb. So the whole shayla of kasher and glass, according to them, doesn't even start. You don't have to kasher glass. Why not? Because it never absorbed anything in the first place. So we've understood that opinion. The Rav Yoh, this opinion who holds that glass doesn't absorb, has another raya, another proof. And that's in the Ovester of Nosson, which is printed in one of the Mesechta Ketanos, which is printed at the back of the Gemara Avodah Zarah. And in the Ovester of Nosson, in the Ovester of Nosson, it seems to say explicitly this, seemingly. And the Ovester of Nosson, Perek Mem Aleph, Halacha Vov. Shloisha Devorim B'Kli Cheres. Three characteristics of Kli Cheres. Boileya Ve'enoi Poileit. It's absorbed, but it doesn't give out. You can't really kasher it. That's Kli Cheres. Yeah? Made from earthenware. The einam mavish komashet esoichoi. It doesn't cause anything that's put inside it to rot. We won't go into that. Shloisha devarim bekli zechuches. But three characteristics, three things were said about kli zechuches, about glass. Einoi boileya. It's not boileya. So it seems to say explicitly, zechuches is not boileya. The einoi poileit. And also, it doesn't give out. Now, those words, by the way, are written in brackets. The einoi poileit. What's the problem with these words? Right. If you just told me, Eino Boileya, then obviously, Eino Poilet. It was never poileia in the first place. It was never absorbed in the first place, so there's nothing to be poilet. So why does it say ene poilet? So that's why some people put these words in brackets, round brackets, which were, generally speaking, we're not goyves round brackets. And they say it's not necessary to write the words ene poilet. If it's not poileia, it's not poilet. Others say no. What it means is ene poilet means it doesn't absorb as much as kli cheres, but it does absorb a certain amount. The ene poilet means because it only absorbs a very small amount, so it's not poilet, because it's only a little bit which is absorbed inside. It's not poilet. So therefore you do read the skiras of ene poilet. But a maestro, the Rishonim, who want to prove that glass is not boileia, they are goyres at least ene boileia. The shayla is what they're goyres about the second bit, right? Does it say ene poilet or not? But one thing is clear, they do bring a raya from this obister of Nosson that glass is not boileia. And this is the source of what people say. Glass isn't boileia. You can use glass for milk, meat, but glass is not boileia. This is the source for this. Okay, clear, yeah, so far? The third opinion. Okay, we've had so far the opinion that compares it to cheres, the second opinion which compares it to a lathe, it's sheer, it's smooth, it doesn't absorb. There's a third opinion. And this is brought down the Rabbi Shmuel Mi, I don't know how you pronounce it, Palais or Palais, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, and quoted in the Oizarua. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah Daf Ayin He is discussing Tevilas Kelim, right? Tevilas Kelim is different from Hagolas Kelim, right? Tevilas Kelim is when you buy a new Kelim from a Goy, in order to be Machnis it, the Kedushas Yisrael, you have to Tevil it. That's the reason it's brought, I think, from Yerushalmi. You have to Tevil it. That's not talking. The purpose of tovling does not get any issa out. Don't take issa which is absorbed out. You put the thing in the mikvah. That's tevilas kelim. The Gemara there says, "Omar Rav Ashi, hani kli zechuchis. What's the aloch of kli zechuchis? Do you have to tovel kli zechuchis?" Says the Gemara, "Hayo v'chi nishtabru yesh lahem takana." Since if you had a kli zechuchis, what would happen if it got broken? Yesh lahem takana. You can melt it down. You can make it into a new keli. It's comparable to a klimatchoit. What's a klimatchoit? Metal. Metal, if it breaks, if metal thing breaks, you can melt it down and make something new. So the Gemara compares there the chuchis to matchoit, and the same way that matchoit, metal, requires tevila, so too glass requires tevila. Okay with me? So, these Rishonim, the Ozaru and others, say the same way the Gemara compares glass to metal regarding tevila, we will do the same thing regarding kashering as well. It's good to learn the halachas of tara, of making something usable, tara, religiously usable. It's good to learn those halachas from a similar kind of sugya. So the sugya of tevilas kelim is a sugya of tara. So too we will learn the halacha of kashering, hagola, also from tevila as well. So since the Gemara tells us by tevila, you're toivel glass like metal, so also you're toivel you have gola on glass like metal. So that shows it's like metal. Yeah, it absorbs, but you can kasher it. Okay, we can learn this on this makoy. So this is the makoy that you can kasher glass. It absorbs, but you can kasher it. So to summarize again, I want to go over it so we get it clear. One opinion, the Rav Yor, the Ran, compare it. One opinion is the Rabbeinu Yechiel, it's known as, compares it to cheres, and therefore it absorbs glass, absorbs, and you can't kasher it. The second opinion compares it to a lathe, and it doesn't kasher it, it doesn't absorb at all. That's the Rav Yor. And the third opinion, the Oizarua, they compare it to metal, which it does absorb, and you can kasher it. That's the three opinions. What's halacha l'maisa? What is halacha l'maisa? So interestingly enough, in Hilchas Issa v'Hetter, like let's say in Bosa v'Cholov and things like that, these halachas are not brought. It doesn't say in Hilchas Bosa v'Cholov anywhere whether you can use glass for meat and for milk. Doesn't say it anywhere. Now halachas are brought down basically in two places. Firstly, but again to us, which is in Hilchas Pesach, Siman Tov Nun Aleph in Or Chaim, Sif Chof Vov. There it talks about using glass on Pesach, kashering glass on Pesach, and also in Hilchas Yayin Nesach. But there's very little over there in Yayin Nesach. We're not going to talk about Yayin Nesach now. So Tov Nun Aleph Sif Chof Vov. The Mechaber Paskins, interestingly, like to make Elim. The Shulchan Aruch paskens, the glass doesn't absorb. Even Pesach. So according to the Mechaber, glass that you've used all year round, for chometz, you can use on Pesach. You just have to clean it, make sure there's no chometz sitting on the surface. You have to clean it well. But you don't have to kasher it. So theoretically, somebody who is a Svadi, who follows the Mechaber, can use his year-round glass, he can use it on Pesach. The Rambam says, V'yesh machmirin, not V'yesh oisrin, he says, V'yesh machmirin, not to cash your glass, not to use glass that you've used all year round, and not even to kasher. So it goes two stages to the extreme. Mechaber says, you can use it, it doesn't absorb at all. And the Rambam says, we take on that it has absorbed, and you can't kasher it. So the minhag is, we don't kasher glass for Pesach. So going back to my story from before. How we started this year, the Olam used to be noeg, maybe people are noeg nowadays, to fill up their bath for 3 days and kasher. So why did they do it? So the answer is, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodom, probably this is going back to pre-the Mishnah Berurah days, but the Chayodom, which is a long time before, says that in a place where zechuchit, where glass is very expensive, and you can't find it that much, and people can't afford it, you are allowed to rely on the opinions who hold, like the middle opinion. The glass does absorb, but you can kasher it. Now, the way to kasher glass, you can't put it in boiling hot water, because as we said before, scientifically it's no good, it will crack, most glass will crack. So therefore, they had another method, which, as I said before, I'm not going to go into why it works, of soaking the glass for 3 days. You soak it for 1 day, and then you change the water, soak it for another day, change the water, and soak it for another day. And that's based on the principle called kovush kumavushal. Kovush kumavushal means soaking something for 24 hours is like bishul. It's a cold bishul. Okay? Soaking something is like a cold bishul. And therefore it extracts most or all of what is absorbed in the kedem. So it's a practical way of kashering glass. The Chayodim says that you can be soaking the chonet in the tins, and that's how people were noeg at one time to kasher glass by soaking it for 3 days. That's why people did it. Nowadays, glass is much cheaper, people have a little bit more money around, and it's easier to go and buy glass very cheap, right? It's manufactured much cheaper nowadays on a large scale, and therefore people can often afford to change glasses, and therefore it's advisable that we don't rely on this method of kashering, and we do change. Oh, so crystal is a difficult shayla, so I won't go into it. Crystal, firstly, is a different type of glass. It's a third type of glass where, again, the chemical compound inside has been changed. Lead has been added. And the reason why they add lead is in order to make it shine. That's all it does, really. Yeah? But the downside of it, it becomes more brittle, and therefore when it shatters, it really shatters. Okay? But it's a whole different subject, so I won't go into that now. So to finish off...
Can you catch
it? It depends, yeah. I don't want to say anything rather than... Okay. So to finish off the show in the last minute that we have, I mentioned before about Pyrex. The Pyrex is basically glass with one or two of the compounds inside which have been changed, and they strengthen the glass in a way that it's not affected by sudden temperature change, whether it's cold or whether it's hot. And many poskim seem to say that you can kasher glass. They bring down that Rav Yashiv holds Pyrex, you can kasher it. The Michas Yitzchok Weiss seems to say that you can kasher it in hot water because they are resistant to hot water. And our opinion to learn that the Ritzvah, for example, says the reason why you can't kasher in boiling hot water, why it says you can't kasher glass in boiling hot water, is because it will break. It will break. Nowadays, that's not true. With Pyrex, it won't break. So you can kasher it in hot water. So they want to say that you can't. Rav Ida and his Sefer Bins from Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Moshe said you can't kasher Pyrex. So there are different opinions about Pyrex. The final point I want to mention is regarding the ceramic hobs. Ceramic hobs are made of glass, a type of Pyrex, which is very, very strong, and it resists even very high heat because you've got literally an electric burner underneath and it's very, very hot. So, do you have to change that for Pesach if you want to use it, or do you have to kasher it? So some advise, if you can, if it's practical, if it's affordable to change the Pyrex, or the top, then one should do that, if you can. If it's difficult, then I saw in Hakol from the Kedasiyah they bring, or Dan Vestheim brings in his Sefer, and I asked one or two Rabbonim, and they also say they want to just clean it very, very well with a caustic cleaner, that means a very strong cleaner, completely clean on the surface, turn it on for 10 or 15 minutes to the highest setting, and that burns through. It's better than Hagola. And even though the Ramah says that we don't do Hagola on glass, here you could possibly consider it as the Eved. And secondly, this is more than Hagola, this is Libun, it's burning it through, and it could be the Ramah said, although the minhag is we don't do hagola, which is plunging in boiling water, regarding glass, but we perhaps Libun you could do. Just that in those days they couldn't do Libun. They couldn't do burning. They couldn't do Libun on glass. Nowadays you can do Libun on glass. Okay?
It's more famous actually.
It's not more charis. It's not more charis. No, it's not, it doesn't have a high, as far as what I researched, it doesn't have a higher percentage of charis in it. It has a different percentage of other chemicals inside it. Although they call it ceramic, but it's just, that's just the name. So therefore, ideally, if one could change it, one could change it. But one's not mechuyev to, if it's difficult or not practical. Sometimes you can't take it out, and therefore it could be kashered by cleaning it well, turning onto the highest setting for about a quarter of an hour, 10 minutes, burn it through, and then it can be used. Now the bits in between the burners should be covered. Right, obviously in a safe way. You can buy these silicone boards and you cut out the holes in the middle for the burners, and that covers the bits in between, because it's difficult to cover cushion the bits in between. That can be done, or you can use, if you can do it well and safely with silver foil, thick silver foil, you can make a kind of a frame, whatever, you can do that. But that bit is difficult to cushion. That's a summary of Hilchus glass, Schuchis. Does glass absorb, does it not absorb, can it be cushioned? And the machlokes to show you, it has negeir, there's no other.